Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma nawwir qulubana bi nuri ma'rifatika ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, we ask you to fill our hearts with your knowledge, knowledge of who you are. Fill that in our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to guide us and make this a class where we learn something beneficial in our religion, something that we can apply in our lives spiritually and practically. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this a means by which our sins are forgiven, Ya Allah, and by a means by which we get to know you better, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so continuing where we left off last week, I actually was reviewing it, and I actually made a small mistake last week. I think it was Sister Halima, she asked the question that Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah ta'ala, when we were reading yesterday, he said that all the sins of the heart, the radha'il of the heart, the vices of the heart, they all go back to three. And as I was reading it, I was thinking he was still bringing it, but actually he mentioned the three, and I want to reiterate what those three are. Those three things which he says all of the radha'il. So remember, this word radha'il, it's referring to those inner vices that the heart has to be cleaned from, right? Allah says in the Quran, وَذُرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Stay away from the external sins and the internal sins as well. And the reason why it's more important to focus on the internal sins, why is that? What's the reason? Why is it more important? We did this last week. Yeah, because external sins are actually just symptoms of the internal realities, right? Backbiting is just a symptom of hatred and jealousy. Jealousy is the actual problem that you have inside. And until you cure that, you'll never be able to. So don't cut the fruit, get to the root. That's what we said last week, right? We're supposed to focus on the root. That's where we're bettering ourselves. So Allah says, وَذُرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمَ وَبَاطِنَ. Stay away from the external and the internal. And so the primary focus for these next few weeks is the internal, identifying what are the sources of evil inside of our hearts. And on top of that, talking about how we're actually going to work to heal those things. Now, before we get going, last week also we talked a lot about recognizing your faults, right? We talked a lot. And there was one sister last week, she asked the question, and for the rest of the week, that question just, it was stuck in my head. She asked, what if you're already someone that's so preoccupied with looking at your faults? And the reason why that stuck with me so much throughout the week is because so many of us, because of our social media influence and seeing other people's profiles, seeing other people's pics, like, you know, my family isn't the best family anymore. I see all these beautiful couples. They're all smiling. The picture's so candid. I'm like, dang, my life ain't all like that. You know, the other dude rolling up in his new whip. You know, like, subhanAllah, everyone's showing all the beautiful things that they have, and I'm constantly seeing that. So in fact, what's happening to many of us is we're not even being very confident about who we are or what we have. And so while we're talking about seeing your faults, I think it's important in our context to also build the quality of contentment with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. That is super important for us to build inside of our hearts, this concept of contentment and pleased with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So as we keep talking about all this, see your faults, see your faults, see your faults, don't see them so much that you become so bogged down by that you can't progress forward. And the example I'm going to always give, I always go back to like athletics, right? The example that I always give is like, you want to motivate yourself to get into the gym, but you don't want to become, look at yourself so much that you're like, oh, it's worthless, I shouldn't even go. Then you've looked at yourself too much. You should be looking at yourself enough that it's going to motivate you, like, I got to get in there, I got to do it, right? So, Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, he says, وَهْيَا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ كَثِيرَةً. Although the vices or radha'il of the heart are many, he says, كَانَتْ كَثِيرَةً إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَنْوَاءِ تَرْجِعْ إِعْقَلَى. He says they actually all go back to three things. And what are those three things? He says, number one is the insubordination of the soul. The insubordination of the soul and the fact that the soul always wants raha or rest. So the nafs, what we're talking about, not the soul, but the nafs. The nafs always wants to go against. And that's that concept of nafsul ammara. Remember we talked about that many times, right? Nafsul ammara is the nafs that constantly doesn't want to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked it to do. It's always going against it. Then he said the second thing is the imperfections of the soul that spoil worship. That's number two. So what he's referring to is there's certain imperfection of the soul that when we even get the tawfiq to do an extra prayer or do something, there's things in our hearts that soil or spoil that action that we finally got a chance to do, like showing off, riyah, stuff like that, right? Doing it for the sake of people knowing who you are or followers or so on and so forth. And then the last thing, which he's going to talk about in more detail, is called in Arabic, ujab. And ujab is self-conceit or vanity. Vanity, where it's all you see is yourself everywhere and it's all about you. So those are the three things that he says all of the inner vices go back to these three things. They all go back to these three core things inside of Bani Adam. And may Allah protect us, inshallah. All right, with that said, we're going to move forward, inshallah ta'ala. So now, where we ended last week, he was talking about the general cures, general, like this is just general medicine for the heart. This isn't specific. Like if you got asthma, there's specific things you got to do. If you got kibr, there's specific things you're going to do. And we're going to talk about kibr today, arrogance. But just good, healthy practices, like the vitamins that everyone should be taking. He said, what are they? He said, number one, this is from last week, but it's going to segue into something we didn't cover yet. He says, ثُمَّ الدَّوَاءُ جُمْلَةً هُوَ الرُّجُوءُ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِنَا تَعَالَى بِالْخُشُوءُ He says, number one, this is general medicine for the soul. رُجُوءُ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Constantly going back to Allah. Constantly going back to Allah. And this is the way you should think. All of us are sinners. But when a mother pushes away a 2-3-year-old, get away from me, the 2-year-old just comes straight back because it has nowhere else to go except back to Allah. Back to the mother, same with us. Allah is angry with me. لا ملجأ ولا منجأ من الله إلا إليه. There is no refuge or safety from Allah except back to Allah. Fahamt? So he says number one is ruju. Then he says, وَمِنْهُ صِدْقُ الْمَرْءِ فِي الْمُجَاهَدَةِ بِالْجُوءِ لِإِقْتِنَاسِ خَيْرِ الْفَائِدَةِ This is what we did last week as well. He says number two is that you fight against your soul by not feeding it so much, by jua, hunger. Now, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, the great scholar of Fez, we all up the African coast, by the way, like, mashallah, we hitting the African coast up, right? The city of Fez has some great scholarship in Morocco. Moroccans in the house? Moroccans? All right, just one, two. Tayyib, it's all good, alhamdulillah, represent. So, in the city of Fez, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, rahimahullah, he spoke about this concept of hunger, and he says something really interesting. He says, the hunger should never, he says this, listen closely, this is beautiful. He says, the miftah al-qulub, the keys to opening your heart from sicknesses are three. Listen to this, this is really interesting. He says, number one, himyatul badan bi taqlil al-ta'am ala wajhin la yakhilu bil-fikri wala bil-manam. He says, number one key to opening the heart, nah. Oh, come up, please, so brothers don't have to sit in the hallway. So, yeah, move up. It's all good. That's, you know. Can someone open the door? If you guys get cold, you can close it. Can you open the door a bit? Yeah, Zakatai. Listen to what Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says. The reason I'm bringing this up, because the diet aspect is something that we sometimes don't realize is an important part of our spirituality. So Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says, the keys to the heart, opening the heart, are three things. Number one, he says, himyatul badin min qillati ta'am ala wajhin la yakhillu bil fikri wa la bil manam. He says, lowering your diet, lessening your diet, eating less, but in a way where it doesn't mess up your mind or your sleep. The best way to think of it is this. You know how, like, we all go home, you'll have dinner at, like, well, you should have, I don't know what time you eat dinner, but you have dinner at a good time, and then you just get those moments where you just want to open the fridge for no reason. Like your board, the board fridge move, like, you know what I mean? Like, nah, that's not how, because we don't want to feed the nafs unnecessarily. Like, we don't want to feed the nafs unnecessarily, right? And so we don't do the just like, all right, let me just grub for no reason. We have purpose when we eat, right? And so he says, the lowering of your food should be in a way where it doesn't mess up your sleep cycle and it doesn't mess up your ability to work and get stuff done. That's what he means by lessening your diet. That's number one. Number two, he says, this is beautiful. He says, istinshaq rawa'ih sidq bi makhalati ahliha. He says, smelling the fragrances of sincerity by sitting with the people of sincerity. Like by just being in the company of people, our hearts and bodies actually start to mimic one another. Right? Remember I brought up the example before with sisters, how their bodies begin if they live together to match one another, right? That's natural. So if it does, if it happens on a biological level, it happens on a spiritual level too. So he says, istinshaq, inhaling the fragrance of siddiq, the smell of siddiq by sitting with the people of sincerity. So what that means is, part of opening the heart is coming to these gatherings, and even if you don't feel like listening, you just there chilling like, okay. Like the people who go to the gym and don't really hit the weights. You know what I mean? Like, they ain't doing nothing. You could tell. Never mind, I ain't gonna hate on people. Right now it's January, everybody's still going, so. Right. Okay, number three. This is Sidi Ahmed Zarruq. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says number three, istimal dawa adafi bi tadhkir al mahalik. He says using preventative medicines. Come, oh, there's room. Just make room. Come on, sister. That floor is cold outside. There's room right here. Allah accept. So he says using preventative medicines as well, and those preventative medicines are the thing we're going to discuss in more detail. So those are the three things that Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says are the keys to the heart. But the only reason I brought that up was so we can understand the importance of controlling diet in your spiritual well-being as a Muslim. In your spiritual well-being. The Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, there's hadith where it was either Rasul ﷺ or Umar bin Khattab. He saw a man with a bigger belly. And he said to him, it would look better if it wasn't on you. Like, that's not good. Like, we should be in shape, right? That's a part of our well-being as a Muslim to have that aspect as well, right? And then Ramadan comes and we eat more than we like eat normally. Ajib. All right, so that's number one. Number two, he says, وَمَنْءُهَا النَّفْسِ مِنَ اللَّذَّاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ كُلَّمَا أَوْقَاتِ. So Imam Sheikh Ahmad Ubam Rahimahullah, number two method, or three, he says, is to mana an-nafs. Don't give the nafs what it wants. Don't give the nafs what it wants. Whenever it wants something, you go against it. No, I'll do it on my own time. Right? And this is really, really well, like, it's something that's kind of hip nowadays with, like, the motivational, like, YouTube videos about productivity. Like, your nafs wants coffee at a certain time. Don't give it to it. First, get your priority done and reward yourself with the coffee. That's, like, pure, like, islah stuff. Right? Don't give the nafs what it wants, but rather force itself to do what you want it to do, then you reward it with things that it wants, right? Just like you're training it. Then the next thing he says is suhbati ahlil khair. This is what Sidi Ahmed Zarruq said, istinshaq, smelling the fragrances. He says by staying in the company of good people. Tayyib, now we're starting fresh. We didn't cover any of this last week. Everything we just talked about was from last week. Tayyib, bismillah. قال الشيخ أحمد بامبا رحمه الله وأكلنا من أطيب الحلال لا شبهة أو ريبا أو الإشكال. The next thing for general practice for your well-being is eating halal and good food, wholesome food. Here's the deal. We know now through science, psychologically, food has the food you eat can affect you psychologically. We've known forever that the food you eat can affect you from a biological perspective. Islam opens it up on a deeper level. Islam says, but guess what? You are what you eat goes to a deeper level. Your spiritual well-being is very dependent on the food that you eat. And so the concept of eating halal, wholesome, good food is a part of spiritual well-being. So what does he say? أَقْلُنَا مِنْ أَطْيَبِ الْحَلَالِ. Like, yo, mom's food is like, it's on point. I mean, subhanAllah. La shubhata aw riban. Food with no doubt in it, no riba in it, interest in it, and no type of ishkal. He says a beautiful line. He drops bars sometimes, man. He says, Ya sahi kul ma shitta taf'al mithla wa khali lan man shitta taqdu shakla. Beautiful Arabic. Ya sahi. Sahi means ya sahibi. He's saying a short form. Ya sahi, oh my boy, oh my friend. Kul ma shitta. Eat what you like. Taf'al mithla. But you'll act that way. Eat what you like, but you'll act that way. Wa khali lan man shitta. And spend time with whoever you like. Khalil means like to be, the Prophet ﷺ said, al-din al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. Falyandur mayu khalil. So the word khalil is, means friend, right? Khalilullah. But it comes from the word khalal. Khalal in Arabic. And khalal means to like intermingle. Right? My fingers are doing khalal right now. When you do wudu and you go like this, it's called khilal. Because you're entering together. So the concept of a khalil are the people who you're like this with. You, so he says, wa khalilan man shitta. Be, do khilal with whoever you with, you wish to. Taghdu mithla. But you'll be like them. And it's almost impossible for us to not be influenced by the social environment that we're around. We all understand the power of environments of certain types. When we're trying to better ourselves in any way, we surround ourselves with people with that like type of thinking because we know how impressionable we are. And so that's the concept. But the way he says it, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, Ya sahi kul ma shitta. Oh my friend, eat what you like. Taf'al mithla. But you'll act that way. Wa qali lan man shitta. Taqdu shakla. And spend time with who you like. Taqdu mithla. And here's the deal. If you're looking at someone for marriage, don't talk to the mom. Don't talk to the cousin. Don't talk to the brother. See who he chills with. See that person. Check that person out. Why? Because that's your boy. That's who he is. That's who she is. So I think if you really want to know someone, if you really want to understand who someone is, then see who they spend time with, who their close friends are. And that'll tell you a lot. And I think we should use that for our own selves, because I might ask myself this question. Who do I like spending time with? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm asking myself, like, who do I enjoy company with? If the people I enjoy company with, through my analysis of, through Dean's perspective, are not righteous people, that's indicative of something inside of me for real. But if I enjoy time with righteous people, you come to this gathering like this, you're like, yo, I could chill with these sisters, mashallah, they cool, right? With these brothers, mashallah, I vibe with them. Then that's indicative of something inside of you about who you are. So Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, he reminds us that suhba, that company is a huge part. May Allah give us righteous suhba, right? That's huge in your spiritual development. Huge, huge. He continues to go forward. Number, anyone got numbers for me? I think it's like five. Number five. وَمِنْ دَوَائِهَا الْفِرَارُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ مَذِنَّةِ الذَّنْبِ لِمُحْتَدٍ مُتِيئِ. He says in number five, general practices. He says, مِنْ دَوَائِهَا الْفِرَارُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ مَذِنَّةِ الذَّنْبِ. Running away and fleeing away from all of the places of sin. This is huge. So here's the deal. He's teaching us that when you want to reform yourself, you have to have an aversion from the places that you find yourself susceptible to the lifestyles you don't like. What do I mean by that? When you find yourself headed in the direction of a place where that sin occurs, you gotta bounce. Like, I'll tell you about myself, brothers and sisters. Like, when I first converted, like, where I grew up is inner city, right? It's like up, yeah, right? Inner city. And at first, when I converted, I would still try to be on the block. Y'all know what the block is? Ain't no blocks down here. That's what I'm saying, for real. I would try to be on the block, but still be like Muslim. And everybody knows I'm Muslim now, right? But, you know, when they, you know, crack a Philly, No? Okay. Okay, when they start doing things that are not good to do, then I would be like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. No, I'm good. And after a while, you realize that as I keep trying to stay in this company, my lifestyle isn't conducive to this company anymore. And so there came a point where one of my elders, like the streets has elders too, okay? Yeah, oh geez, okay. I don't know what y'all know, so whatever. Yeah, I don't want like people like, he's too ghetto, I ain't going to that. Like, he's like, it was cool to a point, but now he's like, he's straight hood. Like, I'm holding back. Like, so some of the elders from my people, they were eventually like, yo, Mike, we love what you're doing. It's amazing. Your life is going straight. You got to get off the block, bro. Peace. We love you. Go. And it was just like, wow. They realized they were bad company for me. And they were just like, no, you're going in the right. And this shows sincerity too, subhanAllah. They were like, you're going in the right direction. We're low lives. We're not doing what's right. You need to keep going and get away from us. And from that day, it was like, all right, I have to separate. So Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah, he says, one of the medicines is this. Listen, the way to understand it is this. We all have sins that we are addicted to. All of us, right? Okay, I won't be able to concentrate. Can you take her down? Karima, get down, please. Thank you. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says it this way. That in order to stop yourself from walking to the place, you have to stop it first somewhere else. And where do you stop it first? The thought. This is important. Listen closely. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says, the first place you stop the sin is the thought when it comes. And what that means is, the moment the thought of the sin, all of us, we did Toba from a sin. Last week, we're like, you know what? I'm done. Ya Allah, forgive me, right? Then a few days later, we're chilling, we're driving, daydreaming, and it comes. What Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi explains, he says, at that moment, listen closely, you have to take every effort and say, Astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, He says, don't even, subhanAllah, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says, don't even think about people who are still in the sin and say like, subhanAllah, may Allah help them. Because what's happening is, as you think about the sin, what's happening? It's strengthening inside of you. And before you know it, you got the desire, you're back there. So what he said, this is very important. It's called hifdul khawatir. What's it called? Hifdu, protecting the khawatir. And what that means is, the moment the thought of that sin comes, you have to push away really hard. Really hard. Right? Push away really hard. Like, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? If you allow yourself to think about it and be like, yeah, but you know, then you're done. Because now it's you're beautifying it again inside of yourself. And so eventually now, so what I'm saying, he says, run away from the place. I'm saying, before you can even think about running away from the place of the sin, you have to actually run away from the thought of it. And the only way you can do that is by controlling the thoughts. So scholars of spirituality, a lot of them focus exclusively on what? Controlling of the thoughts. And how do we do that? Because the mind is always thinking, we just constantly focus on positive things. Right? That's what we're doing. Instead of, you can't stop the negative stuff. All you can do is keep the mind busy and positive things. And that's how you protect it from that. So Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, he says what? Rahimahullah. وَمِن دَوَائِهَا الْفِرَارُ مِن جَمِيعِ. And one of the cures is going to be to flee. Run away. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run away. From where? مِن جَمِيعِ مَظَنَّةِ الذَّنْبِ. Then he says a poem in Arabic. It's so hype. Listen, the poem in Arabic, in his poem, he's taking from another poem. The poem is this. Salamatun min Hinda. Hind is a woman's name. Okay, Hind. Salamatu min Hinda ma ahliha. The way to protect yourself from Hind and her friends. Alla tahillu dahra fi wadiha. That you never go back to her town. Yeah, exactly. The way you protect yourself from that brother you're trying to avoid and get away from is stop going over there. The moment you start going in that direction, subhanAllah. Salamatu min Hind. The way you stay safe from Hind. I mean, you could, sisters, put a brother's name in there if you want, right? Salamatu min Hind. Ma'ahliha. And her friends. Because it's not just her. It's her whole crew. Alla tahullu dahra. Fi wadiha. Stop going over there. I know it sounds so simple, but this is the reminders that we need, right? SubhanAllah. Any questions, inshallah? Because we're going to the next section. He's going to talk specifically now about a specific type of a sin. Any questions about these general practices? No? SubhanAllah. I'll tell you. Okay. All right, let's go forward. Bismillah. Faslun. Faslun fi tafsili ba'di dawa'i wa ba'di radha'il. A man once came to the Prophet and he had very nice clothes on. Nice kicks on, nice clothes. And the Prophet was speaking about arrogance. Arrogance. And the Prophet said in a hadith, this is very important hadith, whoever has a mustard seed of arrogance doesn't enter into paradise. So immediately this one sahabi, he jumps up and he's like, Ya Rasulullah, المرء يحب أن يقول نعله حسنة وثوبه حسن. He's like, you know, sometimes we like to have nice kicks. نعل حسن and ثوب حسن. We like nice clothes. Is that kibr? Is that arrogance? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, in Allah, جميل يحب الجمال. Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. He loves beauty, right? ولكن الكبر بطر الحق. وَغَمْتَ النَّاسِ The Prophet ﷺ said, the definition, this is what I need you to write down and define. Arrogance in Islam, which is considered a major sin, consists of two things only. بَطَرَ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتَ النَّاسِ Looking down upon people and rejecting of truth. These are the two things. If you don't have these, you're free of kibr, inshallah. But don't get ahead of yourself. We'll talk about it. Don't get ahead of yourself. Why does he start with kibr, arrogance? He starts with arrogance because arrogance is considered ummahat al-amrad, the mother of all sicknesses. If we study Iblis, Satan, la'anahullah, we understand he had this high position, right? We all learned in Sunday school. High position, close to Allah, friend of Allah, worshipped all over the earth. But those actions led to him feeling something about himself. We'll talk about that quality as well. Now, where does the kibr come out? The kibr comes out when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to prostrate to Adam. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran asks him and all of the angels to prostrate to Adam. What does he say? What was his response? Ana khayrun min. I am better than him. He's the first racist, right? The first races. I'm made of fire, he's made of dirt. Like, I'm better than him. He says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ I am better than him. You made him out of meat out of fire, and he's made out of dirt. What we find in this example is that there's two qualities that came together. Did the jealousy come first and it brought arrogance, or did the arrogance come first and bring jealousy? Most scholars say the arrogance was first. And when the arrogance came and he saw Allah elevate someone else, then the jealousy came. And so what we find is that jealousy becomes that sin that opens all other things. Now, arrogance is dangerous because it goes through three levels. Please, this is very important stuff. Jealousy goes through three levels. The first level of jealousy is arrogance. The first level of arrogance is arrogance with other people. Regular people like me and you. I'm better than this person. And we do better according to our standards. All of us have different standards of what we like to take pride in. So for some of us, it's, I look more beautiful than this person. I'm more attractive than this person. For some of us, it's, I'm stronger than this person. For some of us, I got more money than this person. For some of us, it's, I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican. Right? Whatever it may be, I'm just saying. I'm not saying you should be a Democrat or a Republican, I'm just saying, like, we take pride over, huh? Or someone objecting. Point. That's not my point. My point is all of us have different standards by which we assess perfection. And your kibber, arrogance, is going to be assessed through that specific problem. Like, if you're a very attractive person, then your kibber comes through that, and you're going to have to talk about, learn the remedy for kibber through kibber of attractiveness. If your kibber is from money, like, I'm more wealthy than everyone, or strength, whatever it may be, there's different ways. Right? There can be some people who don't care about strength, but the moment you talk about academics or wealth, now they're like, yeah, what? Who can roll with me? No one. They don't care about anything else, but this is where their kibber lies. So for everyone in the room, what you need to analyze is, when I walk into a room, whether it be a room of knowledge, whether it be wherever, how do I see myself as better than other people? Where is that? And if I'm free from it, I'm good. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to say, whatever gathering I walk in, wallahi, I think everyone in the room is better than me. Why? If they're older than me, they're better than me. Why? They worship longer. If they're younger than me, they're better than me. Why? No sin. And if we're the same age, they're better than me. Why? Yeah, see, that's the hard one. Because I know my sins. Their sins are speculative. My sins are for sure. I'll take for sure over speculative any day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you did yesterday. I know what I did. I don't know what he did. That's yaqeen, like, surety. That's speculative. So that's how I know everyone in this room is better than me, right? Because I know myself, right? So the thing that we have to understand is that kibr goes through three levels. Kibr ma'anas. Now, once a person has arrogance with people, it goes to another level. Dangerous. Kibr with the anbiya, arrogance with the prophets of God. Arrogance against the prophets of God. Why can't... Na'udhu billah. Muhammad can't tell me what to do. Na'udhu billah. Na'udhu billah. May Allah protect us, right? Like, who is he? Astaghfirullah. Then the next level is what? Ma'allah. Kibr with Allah. And that's what we see with Iblis. Arrogance. Who is Allah? What is Allah? How can Allah tell me what to do? Right? So these are different stages that the scholars speak about how arrogance... Now, here's the thing. Arrogance, brothers and sisters, is not everyone's heart, a sin of the heart. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says that arrogance is only for those people who have high achievers. You know how, like, some people in the community, like, you may even have cousins or brothers, like, they don't want to get a lot of stuff done in life? No, don't look around, I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean, right? Like, they don't have really high aspirations. They're like, whatever, like, but some of us, we're like, no, I'm trying to do this. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says, kibr is not a disease of the one with low aspirations. It's always the person who has high aspirations. They're the one that gets hit with kibr. The guy that has no aspirations, like, he has other diseases. He has other sicknesses. Kibr isn't his. Because he doesn't aspire to be, like, you know, anything really, right? Which is a different problem of the heart. What are the primary, I'm going to read Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba in a minute, but what are the primary effects or consequences of arrogance? Number one, the biggest, perhaps the biggest problem with arrogance is that it stops you from ever being corrected. It غَمْتَ النَّاسِ وَبَطَرَ الْحَقِّ. You can't take correction anymore. There's no one that can tell you, you just did wrong. Because who are you? Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Right? And so that's one of the primary problems with it. It stops you from progress. The other is that, this is really deep, it distances you from people and it distances you from Allah. It distances you from people because everyone around you knows, like, this is the most arrogant person I know. And so they distance themselves from you. And naturally it distances you from Allah because it's the most hated quality that you can have in your heart, according to Quran and Sunnah, is this type of arrogance. Okay, so that was just a brief introduction on the topic of kibr, right? I'm going to read Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba Rahimullah. Any questions before I go forward? Yeah.
Can you have pride in saying that you are a believer?
So pride and arrogance are different things in English language. So here's the deal. Remember, whenever we talk about qualities of the heart, you always have to ask, what's the opposite quality? Because that is the ideal state. So what do I mean? What is the opposite of kibr? In Arabic, if you know the word, maybe. Tawadhu, which means humility. Tawadhu is the exact opposite. Now, kibr is an extreme to the right where you have too much pride of oneself that it puts you above other people in your eyes. What's the extreme negative of kibr? A negative. No self-regard of yourself. No self-respect. Like you sell yourself out for anything. You're nothing. That's not a quality that we should have as believers. The quality is humbleness, where I'm not going to disrespect myself. I'm not going to put myself low, but I don't feel myself arrogated over anyone in this room. In fact, I look at all of you as aziz, like all of you in the room as people I honor. So pride, though, the concept of being proud about who I am is different than arrogating myself or having arrogance over other people. And I think pride and self-confidence, we got to have that nowadays, especially as a minority like religious group. You got to be proud of who you are. You know what I'm saying? It's like, for me as an African American, like going to an all-white high school, there was a part of time where you're not proud about who you are. And then when you grow up, mature, you're like, no, I'm proud who I am. I'm gonna rock an Afro, what? This is my hair, right? I'm proud about who I am. And so I that's not arrogance to feel blessed and proud about who you are and confident about yourself. You just have to be careful that now me walking around on campus, I don't start to think I'm better than other people at school. It's a balance. That's why I said, if you feel like, oh, I'm good, you got to keep checking it. Because it just takes a moment. You walk in the room, you see someone that looks, what you think, a little less attractive than you, and you're like, it's just a thought. You didn't say anything. It's just a thought. That was the kibbutz right there. Do you get what I mean? So it takes time to develop the state where everyone I meet, I'm like, subhanAllah. By the way, before we go forward, what's the cure for the one who has arrogance about their beauty? So say that's you, right? You really feel like I'm really like fine, like I'm fly, like I'm GQ. And you see somebody and you like, you don't say anything, but you're like, yo, this person doesn't look as attractive as me. Astaghfirullah. What's the cure? What's the cure? Think about old age. That's a good one. Better. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he says, think about how shallow you are. You're judging perfection on something so superficial, where true beauty is inside. You just realize, you just pointed out the shallow nature of your whole existence. If you get a few pimples, you're done, dude. No, think about it. Really, if you've put your status based on that external, then there's another thing. You've based it on something you had no control over. You had no control over your complexion, the symmetry, your nose, none of that. And you take pride over something that you had no control over whatsoever. But the thing that you have control over, your inner character, you don't care about that. Wow, subhanAllah. Yeah.
Okay, so if you shouldn't take pride in something you have no control over, does that mean you shouldn't take pride in your nationality as well?
Agreed, 100%. The next one that people take pride in is nasab. Now, this is where we need balance. You're like, I'm a Misri, yeah, what's up? And a Philistini, yeah, what's up? Right? Now, here's the deal. I think for sure it's beautiful to have a level of pride. Like I said, African-American, my identity, this is me. You are you, right? Be proud of who you are, right? Your identity. But that doesn't mean you have arrogance, that my people are better than your people. That's the key. You get it? Just because I think I'm good doesn't mean I think I'm better than you. That's the key I have to separate from. You feel me? So I think we should be very proud of who we are, but we don't let that arrogate ourselves. You see another nationality, and that thought, I need you to watch your hearts, guys, because it only comes for a second in your head. It's like it just passes your head for a second, the thought. And from this class, you should be able to now be like, Astaghfirullah, I can't believe I just thought that. Astaghfirullah. What's wrong with you, Mikael? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Allah can take whatever you think is so. What if it's wealth? Imam Ghazali says, if you have pride over your wealth, just think of how quick Allah can take it away. Just wipe it out like that. It's gone. So remember the feeble nature of it with these different things. But if you have a specific one, then we have to talk specifically about those ones. Okay, I'm going to go back. Yes.
I think what he was saying, though, with the not being arrogant in your Islam, like a great example is just like, we don't know what
So Sheikh Ahmed Dubama is going to bring that up right now, which is a beautiful point. Since we brought it up, is this, like, I'm a Muslim, right? And I feel I have the key to salvation. I know how to please Allah, right? So now, does that make me feel better than a non-Muslim? And the answer that he's going to give us is no. You know why? Because what she just said, you don't know how you're going to die. And everything is based on that last moment. Right now you may be in this state, but you don't know what it's going to be like at that last moment. How can you have arrogance when you don't know your final outcome? Right? Beautiful point. Okay, let's go forward. SubhanAllah. أَمَّا دَوَاءُهَا بِتَفْضِيلٍ فَحَاكْ أَيْ بَعْضُهُ وَبَعْضَهَا بِالْإِشْتِرَاكِ. He says, as for the specific cures, I'm going to go into some of them and some of the sicknesses. فَالْكِبْرُ أَعْذَمُ الرَّضَائِلِ. Kibr, arrogance, is the biggest of all of the vices of the heart. جَمِيعٍ, of all of them. لِأَنَّهُ يَكْدَهُ فِي دِينِ الْمُتِيعِ. Because it will actually affect your faith. It affects your faith. It's not just affecting actions, it's affecting your deen, your faith. وَغَيْرُهُ مِنْ بَوَاقِي إِنْ حَصَلْ فَإِنَّهُ يُوجِبُ قَتًا فِي الْعَمَلِ. The other things that are connected to kibr, they will affect your actions. But kibr, arrogance itself, will affect your faith. That is why, again, Iblis, his major sin, is it affected his faith in Allah. It took him out of the fold of being a believer. Because he arrogated himself over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what is he saying here? Kibr will affect your faith. Whereas the other things, and he's going to mention some of them, they're going to affect your actions. These things he's going to say next are three that are connected to kibr. He says, وَمِنْهُ دُونَ رَيْبٍ الْحَيَاءُ أَعْنِي تَبِيعِ. He says, number one, consequence or part of kibr is your natural humiliation from being corrected. So here's the deal. One way I want all of us to cure kibr this week is this. Whenever someone comes to you with something that can correct you, accept it. Just for 1 week, all right? 1 week, 1 week. Just try it. This is the medicine my teacher gave me for this. He said, someone comes to you and they're like, you know, I don't know, coworker complains about something. You go, yeah, okay, thanks. That's great. Thank you. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that. Take it from everyone. Don't have haya, natural haya of being corrected. Just take it. Just take it. Right? Number two, he says, كَذَلْ إِخْفَاءُ لِحَقِّ مِثْلُ رَدِّهِ. He says the other thing that will come as a consequence of kibr is that you will hide or delay other people's rights. Because you see yourself as over them, so I don't have to fulfill the rights of other people, but all y'all got to fulfill my rights. You know who I am. That's what we say. And number three, he says, وَازْدِرَارُ لِأَيِّ إِنسَانٍ دَعَتْ تَكَبُّرِي. He says the next thing is izdirar. Izdirar means to look down at anyone. That's the key of tonight. You walk out, you honor the children of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bani Adam, you honor them. All of them. None of them do we do tahqir or look down upon. And that's what he says is the key quality. Dawa'uhu, now here's the medicine. I gave some, but he's going to go deeper. Dawa'uhu ilmun, the cure is knowledge. The cure for kibr is knowledge. What knowledge? Listen. بِأَنَّمَا هَوَى تَكْوِينُهُ مِنَ الْبَرَايَا فِي اسْتِوَى. That everyone in this room is from the same core essence, yo. I don't care what color you are, how long your hair is, how straight it is, how not straight it is, how straight your nose is, how not straight your nose. We all from the same core. Why is that so funny, brother? The nose was the nose or what? Like... The point is that we all have the same core. He says that's the key. We're all from Bani Adam. And Adam is from? Turab. Number one. فَلَسْتَ يَا أَخِي تَفُوقُ أَحَدًا. Listen, he says, oh brother, oh sister. لَسْتَ يَا أَخِي تَفُوقُ أَحَدًا. You're not better than anyone. لِجَهْلِ خَاتِمَةِ أَمْرِكَ غَدًا. Because you don't know the outcome of you tomorrow. You can't judge it. It's not done yet. You'll only know who's better. And here's the deal. You know what's amazing? Allah created the dunya in a way where we don't know in this room who's the wali of Allah. We don't know. Everyone's low key, like, yo, I'm just camouflaged in. But Qiyamah is where we see all the clear levels. Think about it. There's no one knows in this room who has what level in the sight of Allah. No one. But the moment Qiyamah, we leave, that's where all the darajat are clearly seen. But here, we don't see it. So, la tafuku ahada. You're not above anyone. Then he says, ثُمَّ وَعِيدُ اللَّهِ فِي نَسِ الْكِتَابِ لِمُتَكَبِّرٍ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. He says, the next thing you need to think about to cure your kibr is to remember what Allah said about arrogance in the Quran. There are multiple verses over and over again. سَأَصْرِفُ أَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, I will bar or block from seeing my signs those people with arrogance. You won't see the signs of Allah. You won't see them. Multiple verses that talk about the harms of kibr. So he's like, remind yourself of the harms of arrogance. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْلَكَ إِبْلِيسَ اللَّعِينَ. He says, this is the sin that destroyed Iblis. That main story, we all know, the main sin is kibr. نَعُوذُ مِنْهُمَا بِرَبِّنَا الْمُعِينَ. We seek refuge from them, from it, with our Lord, the one who gives us help. Now, here's the next bit of knowledge. So what's your first knowledge? The first bit of knowledge is that we're all from the same. The next part of the cure is another bit of knowledge. قَدَ كُنْتَ قَبَلَ نُطْفَةً مَذِرَةً. He says, remember where you came from. You want to stay humble? Remember where you came from. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to keep it real. I know where I came from. If y'all saw me at the age of 17, 18, like, subhanAllah. I know where I came from. And I have friends that if they see me getting too proud, like, yo, bro, hold. Can we look back? That was you. And then Allah brought you here. Right? Remember where you came from. If it's arrogance through money, remember those poor days. Right? If it's arrogance through knowledge, your degrees, remember the days of no degrees when you were struggling. Whatever it is, remember where you came from. So what he says is, and that's a powerful medicine. And the story that is best in the Quran about this is Qarun. Qarun in the Quran, he's the archetype of wealth that forgets where it came from. The other is in Surah Al-Kahf. Ashabullah, the person of the garden. When he sees all of this, he's like, this is all mine. I worked hard for this. And his friend's like, did you forget where you came from? He's like, no, I'm always going to have this. And then it's gone. So remembering where you came from, always reflect back. So what does he say? He says, remember who you are. You used to be a drop of semen. Then you were just in someone's stomach. ثُمَّ تَسِيرُ جِيفَةً. Then you're just going to be a corpse just laying there that no one even wants to be around. My teacher used to say, like, after a few days, no one's going to keep you in the house. They bury you quick because the smell coming from you, we'll keep memories of you and pictures, but you got to go. He's like, remember where you came from, remember where you're going, that should keep you humble. Remember where you came from, remember where you're going, that should keep you humble. I think it was one famous actor that said, like, gravity gets the best of all of us. I mean, like, she's saying it from a different perspective, but it's the same thing. That at the end, if you remember where you're going to be, it'll keep you humble right now. Right? So keep going. What does he say next? He says, you used to be a drop of semen. You were nothing. Hamilan. Then you were in the stomach of... You were just a fetus. ثُمَّ تَسِيرُ جِيفَةً. SubhanAllah, when you have, like, children, right? Oh, dang. When you have children, and, like, when you see them grow, and then they start talking back, like, this will hit y'all. You can be like, yo, you were, like... You know what I mean? You were... I just was holding you, like, your neck you couldn't hold up, and now look how arrogant you are. Where did all that come from? He's just saying, remember where you came from. It'll keep you balanced. It'll keep you humble around people. He says, أَنْتُمْ بَنُوا آدَمْ فِي مَا أُطْلِقَ وَهُوَ مِنْ طِينِ تُرَابْ خُلِقَ. We are all children of Adam, all of us. And he's from dirt. That's what we are. Amma dawa'ul ujab. Oh, this is the next one. Okay, so what he goes into next is ujab. Ujab is to be very vain and focus on yourself, a high level of conceit about yourself. The reason why he mentions this next is because scholars always connect these two together, because they grow from one another, obviously, right? They build from one another. Arrogance comes after a person has become so conceited about their own abilities and who they are. And so he says the next one, amma dawa'ul ujab. He's moving to the second disease of the heart, which is vanity, conceitedness, and ujab in Arabic it's called. It comes from the word ajab, to be impressed with yourself. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're in the mirror, you're like, oh. Yeah, pretty good, right? Fi ma nuqila an ya'lam al-'abid anna al-'amala laysa lahu li kawnihi mudhallala wa annahu yumkinu alla yuqbala. So most of us are actually, we get ujab or vanity based on actions we do, right? So what is he saying? If you get proud of your actions, let's say we get up for Qiyam al-Layl tonight, right? And we catch Fajr, you know, in the masjid for like a week straight. And like for like 5-10 days, I'm starting to pray to Hajj at home. And I start to feel good now. Like, yeah, yo, I'm on top of my game. Now what happens naturally is shaitan wants to destroy that action. The only way he can destroy it is by spoiling it, making the action bad. How does he do that? You start to feel that this action was from me. I did this. It was from me. So what does he say? The cure for ujab is this. This is very beautiful. And we'll talk about this on a practical level in a moment. He says, amma dawa'ul ujab. The cure for being proud of what you did. Now, proud in a different way. Proud in the way that I did this. You know what I'm saying? Not happy that I got a chance to do it. Everyone feel me on the difference between that? Okay, if I get up for Hajj tonight, guys, I'm going to be very happy. And you know what I'm going to say? Alhamdulillah. Like, Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, thank you. Ya Allah, you gave me a gift. But I'm not going to try not to have the feeling that I did this. Because I'm not attributing back to the one who gave me the ability to do it. Do you get what I'm saying? And so the concept of ujab is when I am so proud of my action that I feel like I did this. The cure for ujab is simply this. Whatever you get ability to do, you put it always back to Allah. Like, this was Allah's gift to me that I got a chance to do this. Wala in shakartum la azidannakum. If you're grateful, Allah will give you more tawfiq. But the moment you said, that was me, then you've destroyed the action. So what's the cure? Here's the cure. He says the cure is that you have to know knowledge. Don't you realize, subhanAllah, all the cures for these diseases is something you got to think about. Psychologically, you got to convince yourself of and understand. He says, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَابِدْ, that you, the servant, have to know, أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ لَيْسَ لَهُ, it wasn't you, number one. And number two, وَأَنَّهُ يُمْكِنْ أَلَّا يُقْبِلَ, it's possible that this action isn't even accepted. That's the other cure. So, when we do an action, we want Allah to accept it. We don't just want to do it. Now, I don't know if Allah is going to accept that action because I don't know if my sincerity was there. I don't know. I pray He does, but I don't know. So the mere question that, Ya Allah, please take this from me, solves the ujab right there. You feel me on that? So you get a chance. Tomorrow morning you wake up, you read Quran. Don't walk away feeling like, yeah, I did something. Walk away and you go, Ya Allah, please accept that from me. And thank you, Ya Allah, for letting me do that. Please accept it. Watch what happens. And it humbles you too. It's an amazing feeling instead of walking away. And remember we said a few weeks ago, there are some sins. Who can repeat that? Who remembers? Some sins that bring you closer to Allah, and some good deeds that, this is exactly what we're talking about. You get up for Fajr tomorrow and feel like you did something, the effect of you praying was negative and created ujib in your heart. You miss Fajr tomorrow. Don't miss on purpose. You miss Fajr tomorrow and you feel broken. Astaghfirullah. that brought you closer to Allah. Brought you closer to Allah. Again, don't do these things on purpose. But the point is that the action should not create ujub inside of you. Got it? You know what's amazing? Like, our deen is always like, you got to do, you got to act, you got to do, you got to do. And then we balance that by saying, but take, put it all back to Allah. That He gave me the ability to actually do it. Yes? Huh? How do I?
What's your advice?
For what? I didn't hear it properly.
A brother and Mrs. Jamal.
Okay.
They feel like that.
They feel horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you gotta like boost them up, you know, remind them about that feeling, how Allah loves that feeling that they missed it, you know? Like, remind them about that, you know? It happens. You gotta boost them up, definitely. Tell you. Okay, any questions? I think we'll stop here because this is a new section and it's a long section on ujub. And so I really want to spend next week just focusing just on the concept of vanity. Vanity. I think it's really something we have to struggle with because we need to build balance where we have that surety of ourselves, but it's not to the point where it creates ujub inside of us. Yes?
On the point about knowing where you came from, how do you, when you think about where you came from, how do you make sure that feeling doesn't take you and be like, you did this before, you're not doing it now, you can just do it a little bit now. Like, you're good.
Oh, subhanAllah. That's a hard one. The brother asked a question. He's like, all right, you start thinking about who you were before and you remember some of the actions you did before. And according to Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, you should never ever focus on old sins you've given up because you could relapse really easy. I'm saying you should never focus on sins that you've given up because you can relapse very, very easy back into them. So you don't think about them too much. So when I say remember where you came from, this is very important. It's a beautiful question. You do what's called an ijmali nadhar. Ijmali means like, I'm not going to sit here, guys, and think about my ayama jahiliya like really think. I'm going to think like, dang, I had bad times. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I remember that one day. No, seriously, guys. Because as I start to contemplate and think, what Sheikh Sidi Ahmed Zarruq explains is you're actually harming yourself. Because now you have to double fight against this new desire you just created thinking about the sin that you've given up. You get it? So the looking back is, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq says, the looking back is an ijmali looking back. Like, my life was bad. But I'm not looking at all the specifics. You know what I mean? That can create a problem inside. Yeah.
So whenever you're talking about the concept of giving, right? So let's say, quote unquote, right, like you're a leader of an organization, right? I feel like you have a different medicine that you might have to take, like a different prescription. So like, how do you control that given if you're making decisions for a group of people?
But remember, all I need you to, he said this. He said, I'm a boss, I'm a manager, right, at work. And you're talking about, you know, don't have arrogance with people that I have to tell what to do and stuff. Think of this. The Prophet ﷺ. What's the pinnacle, almost like climactic moment in the seerah? Like, where's like the climax moment almost? Fatih Mecca, the conqueror of Mecca. This is the moment where he came back as a conqueror of Mecca from the people who were just like putting his face in the mud, like, at the lowest. How did he enter the city? The hadith says that he entered and his head is just hanging so low that it's actually like touching the saddle of the camel. Like, he's not coming in air. He's coming in like so humbled, like of Allah's grace on him, that he's lowering himself. The reason I'm saying that is because regardless of your status that the world has put you at, kibr is a psychological thing. When you walk past a poor person on the street, do you feel that I owe this person something? That's the key. Or their poverty is their problem. I worked for mine. Da 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 da. So kibr is not about not being in charge, not being a leader. Da 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 da. Kibr is about a psychological state of mind that I don't feel better than anyone. Not that I'm not going to do my job. Like, you can be a leader and be a humble leader and loved by the people that you're leading. Sayyidul Qawm, Prophet ﷺ said, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. The leader of the people serves the people. That's the Islamic perspective. The leader of the people serves the people. That's true leadership right there. Yeah, that's true leadership. That's true leadership. Yo, so on, like, I want to make this, like, before we stop. Again, I need you to look at arrogance for your own self with you, who you are. For everyone in this room, it's going to be shown in a different way. It's going to be shown in a different way. So you need to catch your heart throughout this week. Any moment you feel that I thought for a second, I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm da-da-da-da-da, that's the moment you go, astaghfirullah, there you go, right there. Fatima, that was it. I'm just using, right? Mikael, that was it. There's your kibbutz right there. You pinpoint it. Bam. That's where I think I'm better than people. Ya Allah, I need to solve this right now. You get it?